I want you to know that you deserve to have everything that you want to have. You deserve to have an abundance of money. You deserve to have a wonderful, loving, powerful relationship. You deserve to have abundant health and to be the exact weight that you want to be. And you deserve to have an outstanding career that contributes to people and fulfills you. You deserve all of those things. Now, those are just four main categories that people focus on: money, love, health, and career. You also deserve to have every other wonderful thing that you want. You deserve to have a wonderful spiritual life. You deserve to have fun. You deserve to have a relaxation. You deserve to have respect in everything that you do. You deserve self-love. So you are a very deserving person. But I want you to get out a pen or pencil and paper right now. If you're driving, you can do this later. Or perhaps you can do it in your mind, because this is going to be fairly straightforward. But if you're able to, I want you to draw this out right now, the pen or pencil and paper. And I want you to write down four things. I want you to write down money. I want you to write down relationship. I want you to write down health. And I want you to write down career. Money, relationship, health, and career. So you've got your finances on there, your relationship or relationships on there, how healthy you are, and your job or career. We just called it career. But if you have what you would consider to be a job, then that's fine also. We're just looking at categories here. So I want you to now write down next to them, on a level of 0 to 10, how much success you honestly feel that you deserve in each one. Now be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. How much success do you feel that you deserve? Based on what you've seen in yourself, how much success do you feel that you deserve in each one? In other words, if you looked at your life on a day-to-day basis, what does the evidence point to? What does the evidence point to that you feel that you deserve? So that's different than me saying, what do you want in each one? Because consciously, you probably want tens across the board. But what would the evidence point to you really demonstrating to the world about yourself that you deserve? And let me give you an example of what I mean so you can understand the distinction. Let's say in health that I say that I deserve a 10. From 0 to 10, I deserve a 10. But let's say that I'm fairly overweight, and let's say that I smoke, and let's say that I drink a lot, and let's say that I don't exercise. Now, fortunately, none of those things are true about me. However, we're not talking about me. We're talking about you being honest with yourself. So you've got to look at reality. How much, on a scale from 0 to 10, are you demonstrating that you deserve? How much success are you demonstrating? If those things were about you, if those things were true, that you were overweight, that you drank every day, that you didn't exercise, etc., well, that's pretty close to zero. Pretty close to zero. That's what the world is seeing. That's the evidence that an objective observer has to go on. That's what you're showing the world that you deserve for your health. So that's pretty close to zero. If not zero, that's pretty close to zero. So that's how I want you to look at this. Let's take a good, honest look at this. What are you showing the world that you deserve? That's what I want you to write down. So on a scale of 0 to 10, go ahead and do that right now. Don't put too much thought into it. Just write down a number from 0 to 10 based on what I told you, based on how I told you to evaluate it. Let's see what's going on in each of those categories. Okay. Now, first of all, if you have all 10s, stop listening to this program right now because you don't need it. If you have all 10s and you follow the directions, that means that everything's going great and you don't need this program. If, however, you have anything below a 10, there's room for improvement and I can help. Because the instructions were to look at where you are right now. And now, I want you to draw another column next to that, or another row, depending on the way you have the paper divided. And it doesn't matter how you have it. You have four categories: money, relationship, health, and career. And next to each one, you've written down a number. Now you're going to write down another number next to each of them. I want you to write down what you want. What you want. On a scale from 0 to 10, what do you want? Okay, do this now. Okay, good. Now, hopefully you wrote down all 10s. If you didn't, then you need to ask yourself why you didn't write down all 10s. If you consciously, and you can do this again if you want, if you feel that you didn't do it correctly, that's fine. Now, if you really only want an 8, that's okay. If that's the most you want out of life, that's okay. And hopefully by the end of this program, that will be a 10, because hopefully you'll see that you deserve a 10 and that you can get a 10. But if for right now all you want is an 8 in a certain category, that's okay. But realize that that could be an indicator. Anything you wrote down in the next column or row that's anything less than a 10 is an indicator of you feeling that you don't deserve. Because I told you that you deserve to have happiness in all these categories. And the universe is not lacking in anything. There's enough love for you in this universe. There's enough money for you in this universe. There's enough available health, if you will, for you in this universe. There's enough career or job opportunity for you in this universe. So the lack is not in the supply. The lack comes from you just not accepting it. You just not allowing it into your life. But the numbers are what they are. You've written down what you've written down. So now I want you to subtract the two. For example, if in career I wrote 6, meaning that's what I show the world, I wrote down 6 for how I'm living now, and I wrote down 10 for how I want to be eventually, then I have a deficit of 4. So we're just doing subtraction. If, for example, in health, I wrote a 1, let's say all those things were true about me, the drinking, smoking, overeating, not exercising, and so forth. Let's say I gave myself a 1 because I didn't want to put 0. So I gave myself a 1, but where I want to be is a 10. I have a deficit of 9 because 10 minus 1 is 9. So in my next row or column, I would write 9. That's my deficit. Relationship. Let's say I have a 5. That's what I'm showing the world, and I want a 10. I have a deficit of 5. 10 minus 5. So you get the idea. Just subtract. That last row or column is the one that we're interested in. So circle all 4 of those numbers. Now, maybe they're all 10s. If so, then you've got a huge deficit in each category. That's okay, but realize there's a huge deficit. Also realize that you are extremely honest with yourself. If you actually have a 0 in your life in those 4 categories and you want a 10, well, pat yourself on the back for being extremely honest. And at the same time, get ready to work. Chances are that you have a couple low numbers and a couple high numbers. Or maybe you have, and it's possible in some cases, that you just have all low numbers. 1s, 2s, and 3s. Whatever the case, as long as there's a number in each category, you need to work on that category. Now, if there's a 0 in any category, let's say in health that I had a 10 and my goal is a 10. Well, I've got no deficit. 10 minus 10 is 0. So if you've got a 0 in any category, cross that category out. Put an X through health if you've got a 0 in health. Anything that you've got a 0 in, you can cross out because you don't need to work on that category. You've got a 0 in it. There's no deficit. We're looking for deficits. The bigger the number, the more work you're going to have to do. The smaller the number, the less work. If it's a 0, cross it out. So now you should have a list of 4 things and 4 numbers. You may have fewer than 4 if you crossed any out, and that's fine too. But now you know what you need to work on. Okay, now I want you to put that aside for a little bit, because now I'm going to get a little bit academic on you, and I'm going to give you some more insights into the whole picture. I want to talk to you about 5 ways in which we sabotage ourselves. 5 categories that can throw you off track. That's what I want to talk about right now. And getting these out there sometimes is good enough. Sometimes when we see them, when we see what we've been doing, that's good enough, and then we stop doing it. Sometimes it's just the beginning. Sometimes we see that we've been doing it, but we keep doing it, and each time we do it, we see that we do it, but we don't stop doing it. But the first step toward getting rid of these patterns is seeing them, exposing them for what they are. The first category I want to talk to you about actually comprises several categories, and we'll call it your major flaw. This may not be your major flaw, but that's the category. That's the label I'm going to give to the category, your major flaw. Because sometimes people can be so successful and so powerful and so on top of their game, if you will, but they have a major flaw that ultimately undoes them. And we see this over and over again. We see very successful people taking a nosedive all the time. And unfortunately, these days, it ends up on CNN. We see the very successful person we looked up to, and suddenly they take a nosedive. Well, it's really not that sudden. Usually it's something that's been with them for a long time, sometimes since childhood. It just finally undid them because it finally got to a boiling point, or it was finally exposed. And these are the categories that major flaws fall into. Narcissism, in other words, being overly focused on oneself and thinking that oneself is just the be-all, end-all, that the individual is king or queen of the universe. narcissism can be a fatal issue, anger, procrastination, and perfectionism. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, how can perfectionism fall into that category? In which case, I would direct you to a wonderful book I read called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, a wonderful book that I read some years back, which really opened my eyes to how perfectionism can work against someone. She has a full page or page and a half about perfectionism, so pick up that book. If you haven't read it, it's a must read. You've got to read that book. And there's a section in there about perfectionism, about doubting yourself, and how perfectionism really is not a search for the best in ourselves. It's a search for the worst in ourselves. When we rewrite something over and over because we doubt ourselves, that's perfectionism. It takes away the natural artist ability when we're writing something and we're just letting it flow. We overanalyze something to the point that it's no longer effective, that it's no longer natural, that it's no longer pure. It's just something that's been patched up so many times as to be completely obscured from its original beauty. Perfectionism is a constant doubting of ourselves. It's looking at what we do and saying, that's not good enough. I've got to do it again. Or I can't submit this to someone for their review because it's just not good enough, because I'm not good enough. That's what perfectionism is. And it stops us from getting anywhere because we're constantly reviewing everything that we do. Or if we do get somewhere, we get there very slowly. Writers have writer's block. Artists have blocks because they don't feel that their art is good enough. I constantly hear clients tell me that they're going to start doing something once the situation is perfect. Once they have the perfect situation, they're going to start doing something. Well, the reality is there are no perfect situations. And at the same time, the paradox to that is all situations are perfect. If you start to look for the perfect situation based on your definition of perfect, then you're probably going to be waiting a long time because there's always something that you can find. If your definition of perfect is so narrow that it has to have 10,000 conditions going just right in order for it to exist, in order for perfect to exist, then perfect is not going to show up. If, on the other hand, you can realize that all times are perfect, it's always the right time to do something powerful, then the perfect environment always exists. It's always the best time to do something. And bridging that gap can be a challenge. Getting yourself to realize, wait a minute, it is a good time for me to start yoga. Wait a minute, it is a good time for me to go back to school. Wait a minute, it is a good time for me to start a business. Bridging that gap means letting go of the rigidness of perfectionism and getting on with life. Narcissism. Narcissism is an over amount of focus on ourselves and how great and wonderful and powerful we are. That really serves to do nothing more than separate us from other people. If we believe that we are the best, then I think that we can show that in other ways. We should be the best in our fields, no matter what we do. We should always strive to be the best. But narcissism comes into play when you feel good about yourself in a negative way. Narcissism is actually a symptom of not feeling good about yourself. Narcissism is basically a cover-up for feelings of inadequacy. We overly focus on ourselves. We become self-absorbed. We start to feel that we are the be-all and end-all of everything, that we are always right, that we are the best example, and we're no longer coachable. We're no longer open to receiving information. We're no longer available to the world to fine-tune those things in us that really aren't quite on track. So narcissism is one of our ways of sabotaging, because that can really drive a wedge between you and a partner, for example, just like perfectionism can. Perfectionism can drive a wedge between you and your career. Perfectionism can drive a wedge between you and your education. If you feel that everything you have to do is perfect and that you can never submit a paper unless it's perfect, you'll never submit a paper because your view of perfect will be impossible. You will make it impossible to live up to your own standards, and so you'll never get anywhere. Narcissism can drive a wedge between you and a significant other and between you and your career path. Because if you are overly focused on yourself, people are not going to want to associate with you. Anger issues. This one goes without saying how an anger issue can undo someone, can undo their relationship, can undo their career, can undo a number of things. Procrastination, that's clear. If you keep putting things off, eventually you're going to pay the price. You're going to miss deadlines. You're going to, in some cases, be penalized. You're going to miss opportunities. Procrastination can sabotage us more quickly than almost anything, because if you miss enough deadlines in certain categories, you're done. So all of those that I've just mentioned fall into one category, category number one. The next category I want to look at is settling for less than you deserve. How does this form of sabotage play out? Well, you can want something. Remember that one column of what you want it to be? But in your other column, you had what you actually were, what you actually are right now, what you're showing to the world. So in another category, you can say that you're not really good enough for that. You can feel that you're not really good enough for it. So what's the result? You settle for less. You have the number there. You have a number that's greater than zero. Anytime you have a number that's greater than zero, that means you're settling for less in any of those four categories. So settling for less is common. Why else do we settle for less? Well, sometimes we don't believe that we're going to get it. But it's interesting that anytime we violate this, anytime that we go against our programming, it usually works out. And I've had numerous examples of this in my life. Anytime I've ever gotten anything that I consider to be wonderful and powerful and amazing, and something that I kind of felt I didn't deserve in my life, it was that good, I've gotten it by violating this program, because I've recognized this program running in me, and I violated the program. Here's an example. I was at the house of a good friend of mine, and she happens to be a very famous person. And she's done a lot of things that a lot of people know about. So, famous person, very wealthy. At the time, I was extremely unknown, and I was at her house, and we were talking about hypnosis. And she started talking about some paintings she had by a famous artist who had passed away. And she took me out to her garage, where she had the art next to her brand new Jaguar. At the time, I wasn't driving a Jaguar. So she was extremely wealthy and extremely well known and had this amazing art collection that was in her garage of all places. And I wanted that art collection. I don't know what possessed me in that moment to say this. Somehow I reached down deep inside and I just said it. I said, "Can I still laugh when I think about it. I said, "Can I have that art collection?" And when you think about it, it's almost rude what I said. Can I have that art collection? But I was thinking, wait a minute, she's got her Jaguar in her garage, and she's fairly well off, and she's extremely well known, and she doesn't need anything, and the art collection is sitting in her garage of all places. I will take this art collection and display it in my home and show everyone this wonderful art, so I probably should have this just for the sake of the art, if nothing else, to do the art justice. So I guess that's kind of what was running through my mind. But I said to her, in violation of all my programming, because I was raised with lack, I had to wear high water pants when I was a kid. Kids made fun of me because I wore high water pants. I also wore these sneakers that said Jeepers on them. That was a brand of sneakers, Jeepers, and they had a commercial about them, which was kind of funny to sing. So the kids would sometimes sing that commercial. So I had to wear these cheap shoes and these high water pants because, unfortunately, my father had grown up during the Depression, and he felt that saving money was the way to go. So my programming in my subconscious mind was, you don't deserve a whole lot. You deserve to have lack. And here was this art collection worth many thousands of dollars. And I asked if I could have it, and she said yes, and gave me that art collection. To this day, I still own that art collection. Out of respect for her and what she did for me in giving me that collection, I haven't sold any of the pieces, although I've been approached by people who want to buy them. Out of respect to her and that situation and the wonderful thing that happened for me that day, I won't sell it. I display it. But what could have happened, and according to my programming, what should have happened that day is I should have said, "That's a nice art collection. Have a nice day." And off I would go. But I didn't. In that moment, I bridged that gap. I felt somehow that I deserved that. And I almost went overboard with it because, really, people don't deserve what other people have, their possessions, their exact possessions. I deserve to have things similar to hers because I'm entitled to everything that she has, my version of that. But I don't have any right to own the things that she owns. But in that moment, I bridged that gap. And ever since then, I have been of that mindset that I deserve things, that I deserve the good things in life, that I should go for what I want and not settle for second best. And so I was able to apply that later on when I moved to Savannah, Georgia, and a home became available, which at the time was a little bit out of my price range, or so I thought. As it turns out, it wasn't. It was a 3-story home on the water. And I had a vision in my head of living in this home and of going out on the water and enjoying myself and having friends over and them being able to go out on the water with me and all of us enjoy life. I still remember that vision in my head. And so I made it happen. I just did whatever I had to do to make it happen. And that home is now mine. But for me, that comes with recognizing that programming that's in there and violating it, violating that program. For me, that's the technique that works. I throw that out there as an offering to you. Perhaps that's what will work for you, just violating it, just saying, that's nice programming. Oh, I hear you programming. Yes, I hear you talking in my head. I hear you saying that I don't deserve that, and now I'm going to get it. And so for me, that works because I've always been a bit of a rebel. One time my parents said I couldn't go out at night. I couldn't go play with my friends. And for the next year, I found a way to sneak out of the house. So for me, violating programming is kind of the way to go. For you, maybe it's a different approach. For you, maybe it's getting in there and scrambling it, which we'll talk about. But I offer that as one possibility, violating the program. And think about how you can overcome settling for less by violating the program, by going contrary to everything the programming says. If you're in a relationship and you're concerned about getting married because to you, relationship equals pain, what would happen if you violated the program? What would happen if you went completely against it and went ahead and got married? Well, on the one hand, you may be thinking, well, I'm just setting myself up for failure later on because that program's still in there. But what if you made a consistent effort to do that for the rest of your life? Would it really matter? Would it really matter that every time you were violating the program, every time you thought about leaving that person, you just violated and overrode that program with your conscious decision? Would it really make a difference if you could do that the rest of your life? Of course not. The result will be the same. You'd be with that person. You would have succeeded. You see, you only need to do that during the time that you're alive. And humans live for X amount of years. Let's say you're going to live to 120 years old. Well, every time that program comes up, if you're of the same mindset as me, then you can simply override that program. And if you're someone like me who is somewhat rebellious, then maybe that works for you. Maybe then it becomes a game for you. Maybe then it becomes fun for you. But there are other ways to do it that we'll talk about later on. So settling for less than you deserve is a major category of self-sabotage. Next category I want to talk about, category number three, is throwing everything away. Throwing everything away. And why do we do that? Why do we get everything we want and then throw it away? Well, because we feel that we don't deserve it, because we're living in that deficit. We're living in that number in your last column or row. We're feeling the stress of it. And the bigger the number, the more the stress we feel. Let's say we have a 5 and we want a 10, and so our deficit is 5, and suddenly we have a 10 opportunity, something that would take care of all of that, the perfect relationship, the perfect job, the perfect career, whatever it may be. And so we're living for a moment in that 10, but we're feeling that stress because we really were gravitating toward a 5 in that category, and now a 10 has come along. Now what do we do? Oh my goodness, 10's here. Oh, I wanted this, but subconsciously I really didn't. So I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to get rid of it. So that's a major category of self-sabotage. Fourth category is denial. And this comes into play when you realize there's a challenge. Let's say there's a gambling challenge. I like to use the word challenge more often than problem, because challenge means that you can overcome it, whereas problem means that it's something that's really big and daunting and so forth. When we use the word challenge, we give ourselves more power. So I want you to start doing that too, by the way. I want you to start using the word challenge. When you see something that you feel is difficult for you to accomplish, I want you to look at it as a challenge and call it a challenge, not a problem. So sometimes we see a challenge. Let's use the gambling example. Let's say gambling is a challenge for us. But with denial, we can just sweep it under the carpet. Oh yeah, gambling's a challenge, but I only go once a week, and I have a good job, so there's plenty of money coming in, so it doesn't really matter. That's denial. Denial will undo you, because denial leads to you not doing anything about it. Smokers start coughing. Okay, well, I'm coughing. Everyone coughs. Sometimes it's the season. Yeah, the season's causing me to cough. I've got some, I get some mucus. That's because of the rapid change of the temperature in my environment, not because of my body having sort of an allergic reaction to the smoke. That's just something that happens to everyone. Everyone's got a little extra sniffle during this time of year. And actually, the coughing is caused by smoking. And actually, other things eventually are going to be caused by smoking. That's denial. Denial looks at a problem right in the face and says, that's not a problem. That's denial. That's a major category of self-sabotage. What about resignation? The final category is resignation. Resignation says, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to go for it. Nope. I'm in a 5 relationship. I deserve a 10, but it's good enough. I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to go for it. Or I'm in no relationship. I feel that I want a 10, but I know that I don't deserve it, so not going to try. I'm not going to try to create a 10 relationship. Not going to do it because I know ultimately that I don't deserve it. So I'm going to resign myself. I'm just going to give up. And sometimes when people give up, they come up with all kinds of great reasons why they're actually giving up. Their resignation can fall into the category of, well, I just don't have time for that. I don't have time for that relationship or that career. That path isn't really that good anyway. Joe did that and just didn't work out really well in the long run. So I'm not going to do that because I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to pursue that. So we get into rationalization. And we can get into rationalization for any of these sabotage strategies because consciously we have to make it make sense to us. And we have to make it make sense to the world. Wait a minute, you're passing on that job that's offering that amount of money? Oh, yeah, because I would have to move my family to that place, and that's just not a good idea. They're not really into moving, so we're not going to do it because of the move. At the same time, everyone can realize, wait a minute, they're passing on a golden opportunity here. They're passing up something amazing. But the rationalization kicks in because the conscious mind has to make sense. Conscious mind oftentimes doesn't understand what's going on. You may run a sabotage pattern and not understand why you're running the sabotage pattern. Your conscious mind has to rationalize it, has to explain that there must be some reason why I'm passing on this opportunity. There must be some reason why I'm undoing this. Aha, I know, it's because I'm too good for this opportunity. I'm too good for this person. I'm too good for this job. I'm too good for whatever. That's one way that we can do it. And we tell ourselves that, and we tell the world that, and our friends may or may not believe it, but it's good enough for us because we believe it, and that's the excuse that we've put forward. So that's what we do. Sabotage strategies are what your subconscious mind uses to keep you in the safe zone, to keep you out of pain. But having some insight into the sabotage strategies that your subconscious mind uses can give you the ability to interrupt those strategies, to stop them, to shut them down, to violate them, to override them, to say thanks but no thanks. I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to make this happen anyway. All right, you've got a lot of information in your mind now, a lot of information that's come to you, a lot of information you've heard from me. There's a lot going on in your mind. Why don't we take a moment now, make sure you're not driving during this. If you're driving, don't listen to this part. Do this part later. But if you're not driving, what I want you to do is close your eyes and let all those thoughts come to you, all those thoughts that are floating around in your head, let them come to you now. And I want you to start seeing them become organized. And I want you to start seeing them happening in your life. I want you to see them playing themselves out in your life somehow. All these ideas you have, I want you to find a place for them in your mind. Whether in terms of a plan, or in terms of changing something about yourself immediately, or in terms of, it could even be a vacation you're thinking of taking. But those ideas that are coming to you now, as a result of listening to this material, what I want you to do with them right now, I don't want you to write anything right now. I don't want you to overthink anything. I just want you to close your eyes, as long as you're not driving. I want you to close your eyes. And as I'm silent, just use your imagination and let your imagination run wild. See where these ideas will take you. Let these ideas float around in your mind as I'm silent and really let them play out. Just let them go wild in your mind. See where they take you. As I'm silent, do this now. right? Did you enjoy that? Now, probably what happened is initially when you closed your eyes, you thought of a bunch of random thoughts and they didn't make any sense. Maybe some things were coming in that really didn't fit there. Sometimes when I close my eyes, I see all kinds of interesting images that don't have anything to do with what I'm talking about or listening to. But hopefully, after a little while, those images kind of settled down and meaningful images started to show up. Like, aha, that business idea I had, or that vacation I had, or that person I need to tell something to, or something started to develop, or maybe a series of things. When you let your imagination run wild, you often come up with ideas that you will not access if you're beating your head against the wall, if you're trying to figure something out. That's not as effective, usually, as just letting your mind run wild, because eventually your mind is going to settle down and is going to start giving you information that you can actually use. So I hope you use this exercise not only in this program, but outside of it as well.